commence this evening with hymn 214. Dear Lord, remember me, a sinner weak and vile, full of impiety and fraught with sin and guile. I cannot hope but in thy blood. Remember me, O Lord, for good. Hymn 214.
Thank you. May the Lord help us to read from his holy word, the first epistle of Peter, chapter 1. The first epistle of Peter, chapter 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith be much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honour and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen ye love, in whom though now ye see him not, yet believing ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you, with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober and hope to the end, for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. And if ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear, for as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead, and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit, unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Amen. May the Lord bless to us his word and grant us each prayer. O Lord God Almighty, help us now to call upon thee. Grant thy good spirit, prompt us, instruct us, inspire the living faith, without which we cannot pray unto thee. O Lord, we pray for the prayer of faith. Lord, what a mighty thing it is. Lord, the prayer of faith, thou said, shall save the sick. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. And Lord, are there not here, Lord, this evening, sick sinners, guilty sinners, sinners who have committed sin, this day and every day of our life, we have committed sin. Oh, we pray then for the prayer of faith. Faith in thy dear Son. Faith in his sin-atoning sacrifice. His precious sin-atoning blood. His name, his merits, his righteousness. Lord, help us to plead. Christ and Christ alone. Lord, grant the eye of faith to firmly eye the Saviour when we are such sinners. Lord, when we have so many foes, when everything seems against us, Lord. Oh, if we are given the eye of faith to see the Saviour, we shall see one who is not against us, before us. And if God be for us, as he is in the person of his Son, Lord, who can be against us? Oh, favour thy children tonight to realise that God is for them. Oh, what an inestimable blessing. Then, Lord, who can be against them? Lord, we pray, grant us the divine assurance. Grant us the witness of the Spirit that it is so. Leave us not, Lord, to rest short of this. Leave us not, Lord, to rest in uncertainty. Leave us not to rest in presumption. Lord, leave us not to rest anywhere, but where thou dost rest, in thy love. Lord, oh, favour us to rest in Christ tonight. Lord, thou knowest the weary dove who can find no rest for the sole of her feet here in this world. Lord, ah, what is this world? To me, says one. And thou knowest those that have come in here this evening feeling like that. But Lord, still unable to rest. Lord, direct them tonight to the ark of grace, thy dear Son. Pull them in, Lord, as Noah pulled that dove in when she returned unto him. Lord, pull us in. Oh, Lord, compel us to come in. Oh, Lord, grant that faith by which we shall enter in. Lord, have mercy. Oh, we plead, Lord, mercy through blood. We've no other plea. Lord, our best is stained and dyed with sin. Our all is nothing worth. We continually come short of thy glory. But Lord Jesus, thou didst not come short. Thou didst not fail. Lord, and hast thou not bidden us come? Hast thou not bidden us look unto thee and be saved? Oh, give the look of faith tonight. Blessed Spirit of truth, lift up the Son of Man, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We thank thee, Lord, for thy mercy to us, sparing us and maintaining us, keeping us by thy power through faith, providing for us, preserving us. We thank thee, Lord, for help hitherto. Lord, help thy people in the day of their deliverances, to do as Samuel did when he took a stone and set it up between Mizpah and Shen and called the name of it Ebenezer, saying, hitherto hath the Lord helped us. Oh, we do thank thee for thy help, Lord. We've been upheld till now. Who could hold us up but thou? Lord, thou hast helped in every time of need. When trouble, like a gloomy cloud, has gathered thick and thundered loud, Lord, thou near my soul has always stood, thy loving kindness, oh, how good. Lord, we're still in need of thy help. We're still in need of deliverances. Lord, that stone that Samuel set up, it was in the midst of the way. He and the people, Lord, had not come to the end. But Lord, his love in time past forbids me to think he'll leave me at last in trouble to sink. Each sweet Ebenezer I have in review confirms thy good pleasure to help me quite through. For Lord, thou have us dependent on thee for it. Thou not have us hold those truths in a way that allows us to go to sleep on them. Lord, do not let us do so. Lord, we pray for wakefulness. Let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. Lord, help us as thy prophet of old, Habakkuk. I'll stand upon my watch and see what the Lord will say unto me. Lord, we pray for direction. What wilt thou have me to do? Grant that to those that have come in here this evening seeking it. Lord, whatsoever thy people need, do supply, grant food convenient for them. Lord, do quicken the dead in sin. Do convince the careless of their sin. Do convince the sensible sinner of the righteousness and judgment of Jesus Christ. O Lord, we pray, grant this people the favour of the almighty power of God put forth in mercy and in love, to know the reality of salvation by grace in a living experience of it. And Lord, the reality of those confirmations O Lord, we pray for this people, the growth in grace and in the knowledge of Jesus Christ that is so needful. Lord, we do pray for that which Peter sought for those people, grace and peace also from God. Lord, oh, we pray, do give the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ to be with our spirit, that we may be spiritually minded. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Lord, save us from our carnal mindedness. Lord, thou knowest the things that thy people have to do with. And thou didst say, Lord Jesus, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world. Thou shouldest keep them from the evil. Oh, we do pray, Lord, keep us from the evil. Lord, in the world, but not of it. Having to do with the things of this world, but in a secondary way and in dependence upon thee. Oh, leave us not to think we must attend to the things of the world and then attend to the things of God. Lord, help us to attend to the things of the world in the fear of God and in faith in God, in trust in God. Looking to thee for help in those things. Help then from the youngest to the eldest in all the daily concerns. Appear, Lord, in the difficulties, in the home, in business, in the church of God. O Lord, may bear thine arm, we pray, and deliver. Speak, Lord, and the thing shall be done. Oh, we pray, Lord, that thou wouldst make straight crooked things. We pray, Lord, that thou wouldst direct. Perhaps there is one here tonight, and in a very practical matter, they know not what to do. Oh, we do pray thou would instruct. Thou hast said, commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts also should be established. We pray, Lord, that thou wouldst speak pardon to guilty sinners. Impute thy righteousness, Lord, to sinners who feel all their righteousnesses are as filthy rags. Lord, put thy healing hand on sick souls. Open the eyes of those who know their blindness. Open the eyes of those that don't know it. For judgment thou art come into this world, that they which see not might see, and they that see might be made blind. Lord, open the ears of the deaf, those who feel to be so deaf to thy word. They would hear it in faith. They listen, Lord, they read it, and it seems to be just a dead letter. Lord, oh, we pray, open the ears of the deaf. Lord, open the hearts of thy people. And that those here tonight and they feel their hearts are shut and barred against anything good. Anything bad can get in easily. Indeed, it comes from within the heart. But Lord, nothing good seems to get in. Nothing to soften. Nothing to enlarge the heart. Nothing, Lord, to liberate. Nothing to cheer. Lord, open the hearts tonight. There's the key of the house of David. Open, Lord, and then none shall shut. We do pray. Lord, we would not multiply words. We cannot enumerate the cases of all thy people, thou knowest. We commend them each to thee. This people, Lord, bless their deacons. Bless each member of the church. Bind them together closer and closer in Christ Jesus. Oh, give us each, Lord, that lowliness of mind and of spirit. Lord, we pray, keep us from ourselves. Keep us from the devil, who would and solemnly does separate brethren. Lord, we pray for that unity. Help us, Lord, to endeavour to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Lord, we pray for afflicted ones. Be very gracious and merciful to them. Help them, heal them if it please thee. Strengthen, Lord, those that are weak. Lord, sanctify these things. Let thy judgments even in these things help us each. Bless I and all we do plead for her. Lord, thou knowest those that weep in secret because of Zion's desolations. Lord, weep at the sins in Zion. Weep at the solemn departures. Weep, Lord, at the withholding of thy Spirit. Weep, Lord, at the worldliness. Lord, oh, have mercy. Lord, help us to wrestle in prayer. Oh, pour upon Zion the Spirit of grace and of supplication, and then surely, Lord, those blessed answers will follow. A fountain opened unto her, and she shall look upon him whom she hath pierced, and shall mourn for him. Pardon now all we ask wrongly. Make up in giving where we fail to ask. Oh, come, Lord, we pray, and open the word to us. It's a closed book to us, unless thou dost open it. Lord, everything will be in vain unless thou dost grant thy Spirit. Oh, we pray then to send thy Spirit. Lord, grant fresh living water. Pour into a poor, empty earthen vessel, and then grant the opening of a door of utterance and the door of hearing. Oh, may thy name be glorified and our souls edified. Oh, may we enjoy a gospel day and heaven begun below. Prepare us, Lord, for our end. Oh, prepare us to be with thee in heaven. We ask for thy name's sake, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Hymn 999. When any turn from Zion's way, alas, what numbers do. Methinks I hear my Saviour say, wilt thou forsake me too? 999.
dependence upon the Lord, I venture to direct you this evening to the chapter that we read, the first epistle of Peter, chapter 1. The first epistle of Peter, chapter 1, reading verses 17, 18, and 19. And if ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. The context in which the apostle was inspired to write these words is that of the command of God, be ye holy, for I am holy. And having reminded the believers, the children of God, of this truth and what reminders we need of it, he then directs them as to how it shall be accomplished. There is only one way in which any person can, in any measure at all, keep any of the commandments of God. And that is by faith in Jesus Christ. The hymn writer says, doesn't he, that we're unholy needs no proof. We sorely feel the fall. But he doesn't stop there, does he? May he not leave us to stop there. What a snare that is, to be satisfied with saying what a wretched sinner we are. If you really feel it, your only hope will be in what the hymn writer went on to say concerning the Lord Jesus, but thou hast holiness enough to sanctify us all. And if ye call on the Father, and if ye call on the Father, you see, it is the Father's will that his people shall be sanctified. It is the Father's will that his family shall be cleansed from their sin, the guilt of it, and the power of it. This is the will of God, even your sanctification. The Father chose his church in his Son, having loved his church with an everlasting love. He sent his Son, and listened to his Son in John 17, in that high priestly prayer, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. For their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. But you see, the Lord Jesus Christ there is praying unto his Father to do it. That is the ground upon which Peter exhorts the church to call on the Father, because that's what Jesus Christ did. He called on his Father. Oh, may we be made by the grace of God more like Jesus Christ in our prayers, in our life, in our walk, in our conduct, in our conversation, because that is holiness. If you call on the Father, that in itself is holiness. Because that is the holy work of the Holy Spirit in you. And this is, of course, how the Father does it. The Father sent his Son to die, the willing Son obeyed. And the willing Son in his ministry, he said, the Father will send the Spirit in my name, in Jesus' name. And when he is come, he will convince of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. He shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. That is how a sinner gets holiness. There's no other way. Is there one here this evening, and as I have begun to preach to you this evening from this word, your soul has sunk? Because you realize how unholy you are, and you realize how, however hard you try to be holy, you cannot be so. The more you try to be holy, the more unholy you get. The Lord help me to preach gospel holiness to you. Faith in Jesus Christ, and faith which works by love. Every believing look to Christ begets holiness. Every glimpse of him, every revelation of him to the eye of faith, it puts a little of the image of Christ upon the sinner. And if ye call on the Father, and if ye call on the Father, and so here we have a scripture that speaks of prayer unto the Father. You'll find in the scripture that the Holy Spirit has inspired men to speak of calling on the Father, praying unto the Father, praying unto the Son, and praying unto the Holy Ghost. That does not mean there are three gods. That does not mean that certain things have to be asked of the Father, and certain things of the Son, and certain things of the Holy Ghost. Not at all. But it means that when Holy Spirit indicted prayer is given, it isn't just one person in the Trinity that is in view. The three are. But in regard to what the Lord's word says concerning the three persons, and I've quoted the Lord Jesus' words to you this evening, that he prayed unto his Father, and that he taught his disciples himself that they should pray unto the Father when they asked him, Lord, teach us to pray. The prayer he taught them began with those words, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. One thing is certain, to save our souls, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, each involved. But what do we especially consider when we think of the name the Father? It means He is that one who has children. There is no father that doesn't have children. There are fathers that have had children or have lost their children. But the Heavenly Father will never lose one of His. But this relationship sets forth the posture in which we are to call on the Father. Jesus said, "Except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall in no wise enter the kingdom of heaven." And it also sets forth the manner of the calling on the Father. What is the command of God which flows from the divine pattern? It's this: honour thy father and mother, that it may be well with thee on the earth, and thou mayest live long. If ye call on the Father, the little child honouring Him, acknowledging His exalted position, acknowledging that He is the God and Father of all His church. He is the God and Father of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. But with regard to the asking, when a child asks their father for something, what are they appealing to? His love. His love. "Oh, the Father Himself loveth you," says Peter, says Paul, by the Holy Spirit. "The Father Himself loveth you." Maybe there are those here tonight and you say, "Well, I don't have the assurance that the Father Himself loveth me." But do you have the assurance that the Father Himself loveth His church with an ineffable, eternal, everlasting love? But call on Him then, seeking for that love to be made known toward you, asking for love's sake. As a great prayer, my dear friend, if the Holy Spirit enables you to pray it, for love's sake, for the love of God's sake. How powerful that is. It is as strong as death. The love of God is unconditional. Oh, how almighty that love is. How unchangeable that love is. The Lord will have His people remember that He loves them with an everlasting love. And when God said to Jeremiah, "I have loved thee with an everlasting love," He meant everlasting. He meant that love would be forever. He meant that however Jeremiah might sin, He would still love him. If ye call on the Father, you see, in that honouring that I've mentioned, in calling upon the Father, all that must be, and this can only be, of course, by the grace of the Lord given, the fear of the Lord and the reverence and the awe of the divine majesty. God commands fathers and mothers to have rules in their house, to have rules in their family. But where does this pattern come from? It comes from the Heavenly Father. You fathers and mothers here, your children should know what the rules in your house are. And those rules in your house should be a mirror of the rules of the Heavenly Father in His house. So if ye call on the Father, ye call on Him according to His rules, according to His express will, according to His word. And if ye call on the Father, but then you see, if we call on the Father in faith, we realize that because He is the Father, His wisdom is infinite, and therefore He will give us what is best for us. We are sinners, we come short, but I have felt inclined to use the natural parent-child relationship to illustrate this evening. Why the Lord will have me speak in that way, I don't know. May He bless the truth to us, however it is, however it shines forth from the Word of God. And if ye call on the Father, that realization of His wisdom, His goodness, His rule, His authority. And of course, the greatest rule of the Father is that concerning His Son. If ye call on the Father, what does the hymn writer say concerning the name of the Lord Jesus? This is the name the Father loves to hear His children plead. And all such pleading He approves and blesses them indeed. The Father of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, who said twice with an audible voice from heaven, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased, hear ye Him." You can only prevail with the Father in the name of His Son. That is His rule. How often in a child of God's experience, when they are first being taught this, and indeed as they need to be taught it again and again, we seem to have to learn the same lesson, don't we, over and over again. And the Father, in effect, says to us in the words of His Gospel, when we find we cannot prevail with Him on any other ground, when we find we can't bring holiness to Him with which He is satisfied, when we can't bring that to Him which pleases Him, and He says, "You must prevail with me in the name of my Son." And in this matter of holiness, that is so. Oh, it is the Father's good pleasure that in His dear Son should all fullness dwell. Oh, how in preaching the gospel we must preach that in that fullness there is a fullness of pardon for the guiltiest wretch that lives to feel their need. A fullness of mercy to the sinner who cries unto him, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. He is so full of mercy that that sinner cannot pray that prayer in vain. But my dear friend, that's not the whole of the fullness that is in Christ. There's a fullness of grace to make sinners new creatures. A fullness of holiness to conquer the unholiness of our nature. Just as there is a fullness of righteousness to cover a sinner's shame and nakedness, so there's a fullness of sanctifying grace, so that the most ungodly disposition can be subdued by grace. So that the strongest besetting sins can be overcome. And those things which, according to our disposition, we are so prone to, the fullness of grace in Christ, that these may be, even they, the very things that distinguish our personality, a sinful personality. Lions and beasts of savage name put on the nature of the Lamb. The world looks on, gazes and admires, but hates the change. You know, as one man put it, and how true he was, one of the Lord's purposes in making his people holy is that the world may know that God is a holy God. When Robert Murray McShane used to go forth from his house, the people in the street used to tremble because they knew what a holy man Robert Murray McShane was. I don't look any further than myself, my dear friend, in saying this. I wonder whether godly men like that would have anything to do with us. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And if ye call on the Father. You see, what the Apostle Peter by the Holy Spirit is setting forth here is this. You believers, and he describes them in the beginning of the chapter, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. But in our text he says, you have need to pray unto the Father. This being holy even as God is holy isn't something that is the result of past experience. It is the result of present experience. Perhaps that is the reason, child of God, why you are feelingly such a failure tonight, because you are trying to live holy on a past experience. You're trying to comfort yourself on a past experience of comfort. You're trying to feel peace in your conscience through a past experience of the peace-speaking blood of Christ. But it cannot be done in that way. Day by day, the manna fell. Oh, to learn this lesson well. Truths by which the soul is fed must e'er be had afresh. And if ye call on the Father, like as a father pitieth his children. Perhaps a child has to come to their father and confess they've broken something. Perhaps they have to come and confess that they've broken one of their father's rules. Like as a father pitieth his children. If a father has even a natural love in his heart, but even much more so if the father has any measure of the love of God in his heart, and his child comes to him confessing that he has broken something, he has broken a rule, he has offended against his father, will he not pity that child because he loves them? Will not his heart yearn over that child? It will. How much more so the Heavenly Father? My dear friend, oh, how this opens up such a blessed attractiveness about calling upon the Father. What a difference between a child going to their father in that way and going to some other man. What's the difference? The difference is there's a blood relationship. And that's what my text speaks of, a blood relationship. Who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work. Peter in that, this is the second place in the scripture, at least the second place, that Peter mentions this truth that God is no respecter of persons. The other occasion that comes to my mind is when he was preaching in the house of Cornelius. I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. The context of that was Peter as a Jew was preaching to Gentiles. And how did Peter perceive that God was no respecter of persons? He was corrected, wasn't he? That vision he saw was a sheet let down from heaven, and in it all manner of beasts, clean beasts and unclean. And God said to him, what God hath cleansed, that call not thou common. Go and preach to those Gentiles, in effect. Who without respect of person. Without respect of persons. It's not according to anyone's name. It's not according to anyone's reputation. It's according to one thing. That person's works. Judgeth according to every man's work. Let me try to explain what the Word of God means as I describe it thus. It doesn't mean that man is justified by his own doings. No. In thy sight no flesh living shall be justified by his own work. But it does mean that those who are justified by the imputed righteousness of Jesus Christ, which is made known in their experience by believing in Christ, that grace of the Lord Jesus Christ works in them. That's what James means when he says faith without works is dead. He uses the example of the harlot Rahab and says, was she not justified by works when she had sent the spies out another way? She didn't just say to the spies, well, we've heard of your God and what he has done. And we tremble at it. Because the devils do that. No. She was called by grace, and the faith she had in her heart caused her to do that work. She was on the side of God because she was in being on the side of God's people. That is the work. She sent the spies out, that is, she sent them out in safety as far as she was able to direct them. And Abraham, also James uses as an example, that faith which Abraham had, oh, what an effect that faith had on his life. How it changed him, right from the very beginning. What is the work that faith caused Abraham to do right at the beginning? When God called him in Ur of the Chaldees, we read, he went out. That's the work of faith. He went out, not knowing whither he went. Just as Rahab went out. I'm not any longer part of the inhabitants of Jericho. My heart is with God and with his people. And again, as God speaks to Abraham in that way wherein he believes, he does it. He appeared to Abraham in the night and said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, and offer him up for a burnt offering in the place that I'll show thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and went. These are the works that God judges. Judgeth according to every man's work. So what will be the exercise of soul in calling on the Father? As you call on the Father, you will have this realization. He sees everything I do, and he sees the motive for everything I do. He hears everything I say, and he knows the motive in everything I say. There's nothing escapes his notice. That's the first thing about calling on the Father, who judges according to every man's work. What will be the second thing? You'll call on the Father, realizing how short you come. How short you come of his standard. You'll call on the Father, realizing that he sees you exactly as you are. And as the hymn writer said, how foul and black must I appear, most holy God, to thee. That's the second thing. But the third thing is, in calling on the Father, to ask him to give you the grace of his Son, to impress the image of his Son, to fulfill that thing that we read in Romans chapter 8, to fulfill it in you. Whom he foreknew, he predestinated to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. If ye call on the Father, Almighty God, who alone has this way whereby a sinner can do that work which is pleasing in his sight, and realizing that only by the special ministry of God, by the Holy Spirit, can that be done. Paul says, "For it is God that worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure." If you call on the Father, you'll confess your inability to do his will, but you'll plead the ability of his Son to do his will. You won't call on the Father saying unto him, "Oh God, I am submissive to thy will." No. You'll cry, "Lord, make me submissive to thy will. Lord, didst thou not send thy Son? And was he not completely submissive to thy will? Oh, do put that grace in me, because, Lord, surely it was for thy people that thy Son was submissive to thy will. That is, send thy Son to obey." And Lord, he did. He could do no other than obey. But Lord, he had no need of that obedience for himself. Is not that obedience of thy Son appointed for thy people? Oh, do grant me it. That hymn, 471, the prayer for the preparation to die. We need that prayer, my dear friend, in life, don't we? And that is the preparation to die. To know Christ in life is the preparation to die. In Christ's obedience clothed. Now you see, that's not just justification. That's sanctification too. It's the same obedience, the same atonement, the same finished work. It's the same finished work, does two works. In the context of what I'm saying here, of course it does many more. But those two works, justification, that's giving a sinner the title for heaven. Sanctification is giving the sinner the meekness for heaven. And not only the meekness for heaven, in some measure at least, that cleanliness that the word of God speaks of. Be ye clean that bear the vessels of the Lord. Who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work. Just this thought comes to my mind now. The Father is the great judge. That means a sinner who is perplexed about a matter, who is perplexed about their soul and whether they do have any work of God in it, who is perplexed as to whether they are born again or not, is perplexed as to whether they do have true gospel repentance, do have a living faith in Christ, do have the true love of God. You may call on the Father and ask him to judge the matter. Of course he does. He would confirm his own work. Isn't this one of the things that the Lord said concerning the gift of the Holy Spirit? He shall bring to your remembrance whatsoever I've said unto you. How blessed it is when the Holy Spirit brings back something he has done in our soul. Now what a judgment of a man's work that is. When the Holy Spirit brings with freshness and vigor and life something he has previously taught us. Some glimpse of Christ he's previously given us. Some word he's spoken to us. Perhaps you're there tonight, my dear friend, and you're feelingly in such confusion. You don't know your left hand from your right. You don't know what's the work of God and what's the work of the devil. What's the work of God and what's the work of your own evil heart. Well, ask the Lord to be the judge, because he can't make a mistake. Don't ask men to be the judge. They can't. Man looketh on the outward appearance, but God looketh on the heart. Pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. You cannot call on the Father without knowing you're a sojourner. The eternal God, he began time and put man upon this earth and causes these people to be born and every other person too, and he causes their life to come to an end, and he says this world that he has made one day will pass away, as Peter says at the end of the chapter. A sojourner, that is, one of very temporary residence. A sojourner, a traveller. This is not your rest. This is not where your portion is. This is not where your treasure is, child of God. A sojourner. Pass the time of your sojourning here in fear, not slavish fear, but godly fear, childlike fear, reverential fear. I've already mentioned some aspects of this in speaking from this text already. That fear, realizing the eye of the Lord is upon me. But more than that, if ye call on the Father. Now, where there is, in any measure, the relationship between a child and a father, doesn't the child want to do what pleases the father? And when the child wants to do the opposite of that, what is ruling? Sin. When that child wants to do what his father delights in. Now that's the fear of God. Pass the time of your sojourning here in fear, seeking in his fear to do that which pleases him, fearing to do that which grieves him. Oh, why? His love is the love of the child. That little hymn that says, let fear and love be given. Let those two blessed graces govern me. Pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. For as much as ye know, that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers. Peter, or rather the Holy Spirit, and Peter is the penman, the Holy Spirit will have the church have this in mind with regard to this walk, with regard to this sojourning. Oh, my dear friend, if you and I are right, that is, if we are rightly being taught, if we're rightly being led by the Holy Spirit, this theme that Peter brings before us will have increasing importance as we go on. It will be increasingly made precious to us. For as much as ye know, that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers. Redeemed is to be purchased back. Favoured sinner tonight, that as the Spirit's witness even tonight, you were redeemed. You were once dead in trespasses and sins. You were once bound fast in unbelief. Sin had once the complete mastery of you. Once you were without God and without Christ in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, in the Redeemer, you sometimes were far off and made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one. You're not redeemed with silver and gold. Pass the time of your sojourn in here in fear. Yes, you need silver and gold. But the gold and the silver belongs to God your Father. And he will give you as much as that gold and silver as you need. And use it in his fear. Hold it in his fear. It's not money that's the root of all evil. It's the love of it that's the root of all evil. Some of the Lord's people are very rich men. But they don't trust in riches. By the grace of God, that is. That's the first thing concerning this word then. That silver and gold could not possibly redeem you. What was necessary to redeem you? Something infinitely more valuable. The precious blood of Christ. You couldn't pay for your sins with all the money in the world. You couldn't pay for your sins with your own blood. And there's certainly nothing in what you inherit from your fathers that could redeem you. What do we inherit from our fathers? The first thing we inherit from our fathers, and that's of course before they die, is their nature. Adam begat a son in his own image. There's nothing in our old nature can redeem us. We inherit sin. We inherit a sinful nature. We inherit, therefore, the bondage of unbelief, the bondage of spiritual death. But you're not redeemed with those things. Could not be. But with the precious blood of Christ. If you call on the Father, oh, this eternal, holy, divine Father, this most excellent Father, why, who gives his people an inheritance, and that inheritance delivers them from what they inherit from their Father. That inheritance is Christ. That inheritance is his precious blood. That inheritance is that righteousness which he wrought out. Oh, thanks be unto God, says Paul, for his unspeakable gift. But with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish, without spot, for as much as ye know. For as much as ye know. Is there one here and you say, I don't know. I don't know. That may be because in your experience you haven't been redeemed with the blood of Jesus Christ. But does that mean this text is above you? No. Because though this text, with regard to the knowledge, with regard to this statement, we know is above you, the truth contained therein is not above you. For even as I preach to you this evening, and all, may the Holy Spirit bring it down into your very hearts. Because what is being set forth is this: there's only one thing that can redeem, and that's the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Now, as that is so, this is the thing that should motivate the desire of a believer to be given the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because that redemption meant the Lamb of God suffering for your sins, child of God. And shall you harbour in your breast the thing that made the Saviour bleed? We do, don't we? We do. Why? Because we've forgotten that we were redeemed with the precious blood of Christ. All the love of God doesn't Paul, by the Spirit, speak in one place or write in one place like this, where he is exhorting to this holiness of walk, which is your reasonable service. That is, when the Holy Spirit gives faith in him who lived and died for you, it will work in this way in your heart. Why? To depend on him. And to seek of him that grace to walk worthy of the calling wherewith the Lord hath called you. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. And there is the standard of holiness. And look at it. A lamb. Lord, give me the lamb-like nature of thy Son. What does Paul say concerning his ministry? He speaks of his gentleness. Now that is the gentleness of Christ. Not gentle with sin, but gentle with sinners, as of a lamb. Oh, the submission of the lamb. Led as a lamb to the slaughter. Lord, give me the submission of the lamb. Give me Christ's submission. Hear him in Gethsemane. Oh, my Father. This is what he prayed unto his Father in Gethsemane. 3 times. If it be possible, let this cup pass from me. You're not forbidden to ask for that. But, oh, what grace is needed. Lord, help me to say, as thy submissive lamb said, not my will but thine be done. You see, here is the pattern of holiness in a particular way. And here is the fruit, here is the source of holiness. You've got a hard heart tonight. What an unholy thing that is. There's only one place you can get that hard heart softened. Calvary. And there's only one way in which you can get to Calvary in such a manner as your heart will be softened. You could take a plane out to Israel this evening and go to Calvary, or the place where people believed Calvary was, and your heart be as hard as a nether millstone. But if the Spirit sent by the Father in the name of Jesus lead you there, though you be in Swaversea or wherever it is you are this night as you lay down on your pillow, if the Spirit lead you there, you'll have holy, holy repentance. Oh, they shall look on me, whom they have pierced, and shall mourn for him. You that feel to be so full of unholy unbelief, take heed, brethren, lest there be in you an evil heart of unbelief. Jesus, the author is of true and living faith. When did Israelite look to the brazen serpent? That is, when did the Israelite have faith? When the brazen serpent was lifted up. Ask the Father in the name of his Son to send the Spirit to lift up the Son of Man, that you might believe, and that will conquer your unholy unbelief. It will give you a holy faith. You see, if you try to believe without the especial aid of the Holy Spirit, it will be an unholy faith. Everything you try to do of yourself will be an unholy thing. You feel such enmity in your heart. What an unholy thing enmity against God is. It's manifest in our unholy disobedience. Anger, malice, wrath, carnality, idolatry, lust, pride. Oh, the list is almost endless, isn't it? The precious blood of Christ is the redeeming thing. And what is Peter setting forth here? He's setting forth that this redemption in the power of it is needed again and again and again. You were that sinner deserving to die for your sins. And the Spirit set before you Christ dying in your place. Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Redeemed. And sinner, every day you're in need of that redeeming power again. A look of the Lord, says Berridge, is all that we want. A look of the Lord. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. Look, set us adoring his person most sweet, and lay us abhorring ourselves at his feet. As of a lamb without blemish and without spot. There is set forth what holiness really is. There is set forth where holiness alone can come. There is set forth God's way of making a sinner holy. Ah, the standard isn't Paul. The standard isn't Peter. The standard is Jesus Christ. Not a standard that God expects men. He knows they cannot come up to this. And for that very purpose and in the full knowledge of that, he sent his Son into this world. He took our nature. The God-man. The Lamb of God without blemish. Without any sin. Without any mark, without any peccability, perfect, pure and incorruptible. And God, by that he declares, I will make my people like my son. It will be all of me. By grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Well, the Lord bless his word and grant unto us that help to call on the Father and obtain from him these great blessings. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Timothy Barker is expected to preach next Lord's Day and Mr. Hadley next Tuesday evening. Let us close with hymn 144. Jesus, my all, to heaven is gone. He whom I fix my hopes upon, his track I see and I'll pursue the narrow way till him I view. 144.
Jesus, my all, to heaven is gone.
thank thee for thy word. Do bless it to us. Make us doers of the word and not hearers only. Lord, cause it to abide with us. Do thou abide with us. Keep us safe. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us each and the whole Israel of God, now and forever. Amen.